Right. So I mentioned earlier that we've been talking. We've been talking about a number of things during the week. So what I'd like to say is, just before we start, is can anyone remind me of the stories we spoke about on the first day? Can everyone remember? Go on. The paralyzed man. And what happened to the paralyzed man? Shortly. Grimba. How did he get into the room? He went through the roof. Yes, he was. His mates carried him to the roof, lowered him down in front of Jesus, and he was healed. But we'll put more about that in a moment. What was day two? What was the story you did on day two? Can you remember? Daniel's looking a bit sort of. I think so. Go on. Yeah, that's right. He raised it, and Blue's going to give more. The widow's son. Yeah, it was the widow's son. So he went to this village called Nain. One of these little details you have in the Bible. He went to the village called Nain. There's all these people coming out, and it was a sad moment because the widow's son had died, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And then the third day, can you remember what happened on the third day? What did you do on Thursday? What was the story? It's quite important, this one, because otherwise I'm in trouble for this one. Go on. Yes, Jesus was crucified. And what we talked about on Thursday, we talked about Jesus being crucified, we talked even more about the choices the criminals had on either side of him, the choices they made with talking about Jesus, and what they faced while they were on the cross. And we applied them by looking at the choices that we make and how we handle Jesus and what we do about Jesus. On the first day, that first day with the paralyzed man, Jesus did something really unusual. He forgave sin. He forgave the guy's sins. And you might think that the person who was lying there, his most important thing was that he could walk. And it wasn't. It was what was going on in here, on the inside. And then actually later he did, just to prove who he was. And that was Jesus saying that he was God. Because they knew that only God has the authority to forgive sin. And he had the authority to forgive sin. And that's what he did. And the second time, we had that whole thing about Jesus being the promised king. He was coming. And he had authority over all things, including death itself, astonishingly. And the third thing, I mentioned that thing about choices on the cross, the two criminals on either side. And that whole point about it is Jesus your king? And that's the choice we have in front of us. Is Jesus your king? Each day we had a video, a short video, and today is no exception. So let me show you this as a start of our talky bit. It's not long.
The woman cared for Jesus went to go visit his body and found that his tomb was empty and that he was no longer
Throughout history, there have been many, many great kings who have ruled, and some of them were incredibly powerful. We'll take this one, for example. Does anyone know? Well, who's that? Does anyone know? Go on. Pharaoh. It was a pharaoh. Do anyone know which one it was?
Tutankhamun.
It's Tutankhamun, yes. It's Tutankhamun. Now, I don't know huge amounts about ancient Egypt, I have to admit. But he was king of ancient history, and he was so important that he was buried with this solid gold mask on his sort of tomb, or inside the tomb. He died very young. He died when he was 18. And at a time, he was the most powerful person in the world. Now, that may be debatable, I suspect, but nevertheless, we'll take that as read for the moment. But he did die. And he went to see him now, and he doesn't look very powerful now. You'd never know, except for the bits around him on the mask and all the rest, that he'd been a king. Because no matter how important a king is, after he's died, he's no longer a king. He's just a body. He's lost all his power and all his people and all his money. And there is a new king. And we saw this last year, didn't we? Just about a year ago, our previous queen died. Queen Elizabeth died, been on the throne for 70-odd years. And now we have a king, King Charles, seamlessly on a year later. Now, Jesus said he was even more powerful. That he said he was the King of Kings. He said he was the one who gave other things their kings their lives and their power. And just like other kings, Jesus died. We saw that on day, those who were at the Holiday Club last week, we saw that on Thursday. But he didn't get a golden coffin, as the cartoon showed, and everything. He's placed in a stone tomb, a borrowed stone tomb, as we know. And that's where we got to on Thursday, really. But Jesus was different. Every other king who ever lived is buried. If you tried hard enough, you could probably find their bodies buried somewhere. And I know that's not quite true, because we can't find the remains on some and everything. But nevertheless, at some point or other, they would have been buried somewhere or other. In Richard III's case, a car park. But nevertheless, somewhere they would have been buried. But you'll never find Jesus' body, because Jesus is alive today. Christians around the world celebrate that Jesus is alive. Now, that's all very easy to say, isn't it? We can say that till the cows come home. But it's quite hard to believe. It can be difficult to believe. When Jesus stood in the room with his friends, as we saw, they didn't believe it was him. They couldn't quite get their heads around it. They thought they were seeing a ghost. They were scared of him. And there was sort of silence, possibly, in the room. And what did they do? How did Jesus prove that he was who he was? He showed them his scars. In the cartoon, you saw the little holes in the hands. They showed the scars in the hands and the feet and the sides, where the nails had been, where the spear had gone in. And what happened? Jesus' friends saw those, and they touched them, and they put their whole fingers in the gap, if you like, in the hole. They knew he was the real thing. They had confidence. They're absolutely sure that he was the real deal. They knew he was alive. And we can know that he is alive. We can have confidence in what we read in the Bible. He must be God. And only God can rise from the dead, never to die again. Now that must have been really, that in itself must have been really, really strange to see. But over the next 40 days, he went around teaching them and talking to them and meeting many, many people, 500 people at one occasion, or I think the figure is. And then one day, Jesus did something also equally very strange. He flew away, just like Superman. Only this time for real, Superman. I hate to tell you this, is in films and in comics and stuff. Jesus is a real person. He did it for real. And he left his friends to go to heaven to rule. That's where he is now, ruling the world. That's his job, is to rule the world. Heaven is a real place. If we could go there now, you know, as in physically go there, walk down the street or wherever it was, we could touch it. We can't, but we could touch it. And Jesus is there now. And if we could go there, we could see him face to face, and we could touch him, just like the disciples did. Now, sometimes it's very difficult to get head around that, but it's true. Jesus is a real person with a real body, and one day he'll come back again, and just as he promised his friends. If we'd have been in that room on that day, we could have reached out and touched him ourselves. And we could trust him, touch him now, because he's a real person, albeit there's one or two issues of getting there at the moment. But, you know, we'll worry about that another time. It's difficult, because we can't visit heaven, and we can't see Jesus, and not at the moment. So we can't physically visit. There are no photographs of heaven, at least none that we're aware of. And no one has been there to tell us about it, at least not yet. Let me ask about this. Let me have a quiz. Where, what, can anyone tell me where that is? Not an adult. Where's that? Yeah, Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace. And we'll just turn the page. Who's that? King Charles, yes, absolutely. Who's that? John at the back is desperate to shout. Joe Biden, yes, just, you know, the most powerful man in the world, it's fine. I'm sure you'll be very pleased the fact that none of us know who he is. And where's that? The White House, yes, that's his home. Heaven is just as real as the White House. Heaven is just as real as Buckingham Palace. And Jesus is just as real as King Charles or Joe Biden or any other leaders you might mention, like to mention at the moment. Or any kings, any presidents, any prime ministers, doesn't really matter. And we know this, how can we have the confidence this is true? How do we know this is true? Because Jesus tells us in the Bible. When we open the Bible, like we did earlier, Wendy was speaking to us earlier, we can go to the Bible and we can find out that those things are true. We can have confidence in the Bible and we can trust Jesus. Jesus promised to send us his Spirit to be with us if we trust in him. He kept that promise. He did send his Spirit. I'm trusting Jesus, and I know a lot of people do here, and we have his Spirit inside us, within us, always with us, helping us to become more like Jesus. I can't see his Spirit, but I know he's there with me, working within me, because Jesus promised. We can count on his promises. We can trust Jesus and have his Spirit with us. We can feel safe always. Trust in Jesus. He promised that he would go to heaven and rule everything and everyone as king. So we know that Jesus is in charge of all of us all. It doesn't matter where we go, it doesn't matter what we think of Jesus, because it's true, he is in charge. It's just a lot easier if we do trust in him, because he is true, our true king. And that's what we've been learning about this last week. He has all the power, all the authority over everything, and we can feel protected always. Trust Jesus. And finally, he promised that he would prepare a place for us, for all his friends who are trusting in him, all the members of God's family, there with him. One day we will see Jesus for ourselves. We will be able to touch him and talk to him face to face. One day. He has promised. And we can look forward to being with him always, like the second criminal on the cross that we spoke about on Thursday. Trust Jesus. Jesus never breaks his promises. We can trust in him. Amen. Let's just be quiet for a minute, shall we? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us in our place, taking the punishment that we rightfully deserve. Thank you that he said he would rise again, and he did. Thank you that he said that he would send us to send his Spirit to those who trust in him, and he did. Thank you that he dwells in all believers in their hearts through the Spirit. And thank you that one day we will be able to see him face to face and touch him. Amen. Right, let's sing again, shall we? So, the next song, when we last sang this song here, we didn't actually have any actions, but now we have, because I've been told what they are. So it's quite simple. God sits in the highest place. And they go, glory, there's a bit of glory. And then when it's a negative thing, you do that, because I can't remember quite what the lyric is. But it's very simple. God, hands up, come on, join in. God sits in the highest place, and then glory, and then no. Right, stand up. That's all there is to it. It's like the generation game, isn't it, really? Don't know what the proud wants is as God sits in the highest place. Even the one distant disobey, because God sits in the highest place. No, God sits in the highest place, full of glory, full of grace. It don't matter what the proud ones say, because God sits in the highest place. And the liars lie, and the haters hate. God sits in the highest place. When the waters rage and the mountains shake, God sits in the highest place. You know, God sits in the highest place, full of glory, full of grace. It don't matter what the proud ones say, because God sits in the highest place. He's gonna banish sin and shame. God sits in the highest place. Nations tremble at his name. God sits in the highest place. You know, God sits in the highest place, full of glory, full of grace. It don't matter what the proud ones say, because God sits in the highest place. Don't matter what the proud ones say, because God sits in the highest place. Jazz hands at the end. Would you like to sit down? Oh, I need the mic. Now, let's do something first.